Let's pray together. Dear God, we come before you this morning confessing to you that we need some help. We need more than help. We need you to show us the way, to continue to show us the way just as you've always done, to keep fulfilling your good promises, to help us to see your creation, one another, the things around us through your eyes. Just pray for your guidance in the name of Jesus. Amen. Once again, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever is good. Where is your heart these days? What do you set your mind upon most of the time? How do you spend your hours when you're not at work or at school or whatever it is that takes up a lot of your time? Are those things connected to God's goodness? You see, originally, according to the story of creation in Genesis, at the very beginning, here's how it goes. God said, "Let there be light." And then God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters." And then God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. But then at the end of Genesis 1:10, there's this interesting little footnote. You know what it says? Here's how it goes. "And God saw that it was good." From the very beginning time, as we know it, God has been involved in what is good. I mean, from day one. Day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then on 7, you know, the rest, that's good. But right between those, he made this, and it was good. He made this, and that was good. Seas, gathered waters, birds, giraffes, you know, the duck-billed platypus, that was good. But then, get a load of this. He created us in his image. And then you know what the text says in that description? God looked at us and said, "Oh, now that is very good." From the beginning. I'd like to invite you right now to do something we don't traditionally do during sermons. I'd like to invite you to enter into a moment of prayer / meditation just for a moment and consider your own life, to look inward for a moment. Hear these prompts, this prayer as your own. You ready? What do I spend my time thinking about? Is it true? Is it noble? Are the things I devote my time to right? Are the things I look at and think about pure? Are my days focused on what is lovely? Is it good? Okay, back to the sermon. Everybody feel like the kid on Christmas morning who forgot to say thank you? Feel kind of guilty? Oh, man. No. It's what I spend my time, true, noble, pure, I'm looking at good. No. I get it. Okay, now seriously, when it comes to this particular passage, how can we possibly be expected to live this way, day in, day out, hour after hour, given the kind of world we live in, where there's so much that's not true, not pure, not good, not right? I get it. I get it. We live in this world together, and we face all of these kinds of things, which is precisely why we're devoting this summer, especially in a year where we're supposed to be focused on goodness, to do these things together. Go at it alone. Try these things alone. It's going to be frustrating. In community, we'll see. What about the objections? Well, what do these things mean? After all, what does it mean? Goodness, right, noble. Exactly. Even raising the question, what is good, invites us from the very beginning of this summer to discern together what is good. Hear this ending of an era from Joshua 21 as a beginning of the people finally settled in the promised land. So the Lord gave Israel all the land He had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side. Does that sound good? Are you tired? It's all right to say yes or amen or yeah. You ever tired? So here's a promise from God from the very beginning of the story. Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, this giant story forms. And the minute the people come in to the promised land, what's one of the first things that God gives them? Rest. You know why? Because they were tired. My goodness, they walked all the way across Egypt. They walked across the bottom, triangle of Israel. You ever been there? You ever been all the way across the bottom triangle of Israel? Anyone? You know why you hadn't? Because there's nothing to see. It's nothing. And they had to walk all the way across this gigantic area, and they were exhausted by the time they finally get to the promised land, and God gave them rest. That's not all. That's in the middle of the sentence. Then, not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all, and this is one of the greatest lines in Joshua. You know the one we usually quote? Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a good one. Don't get me wrong. But this one out of Joshua 21, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. How would you like to live in a world where every single one of God's good promises is fulfilled? Does that sound good? Well, guess what? This is the world where we live today. In the fulfilled good promises of the good and faithful and living God. This is it. This is the world we live in today. Now you're going to go out into the world. We're all going to go out today, hour or two, whatever. And we're going to look around us. And it's going to be hard to see. It's going to be hard to imagine living in a world of the fulfilled good promises of the good and faithful God. But that's the world we live in, which is why it's so important for us to come in here and name that, even on a day like today. Then, how do we live? For even us as a church, where do we as a church place our focus? On what do we together, as a community of faith, set our minds? I recently told someone who is new to Bearing what I tell everyone I meet when they say something about our church. You know, they come in for the first time, we shake their hands. Oh, hi, are you visiting with us today? Are you new to town? Are you seeing family? Whatever. But I recently told someone who's new to our community of faith, I said, as we were talking about our church family here, I said, yes, Bearing is a really good group of people. And I've been saying that for years now. Yeah, Bearing's a really good group of people. But I've been so used to saying that through the years that it has only hit me this year what I'm actually saying when I say Bearing is a really good group of people. Good, to borrow from last year's time in 1 Corinthians, equals whatever builds up. You know how it's how 1 Corinthians defines love in chapter 8? Love builds up. And I think that good group is different than a collection of individuals. That there is something to be said about what happens when we gather together in the name of Jesus, together as a body. But what does it mean to be a good group of people? Well, that's what we're going to be doing this summer. Because there's still work to be done. That's true for us as a church, but it's also true for society in general. And I think a good place to start is goodness in unity. Goodness in unity. I'm just going to leave it there. Let's dwell in that. Think about it this month. Goodness in unity. Here's maybe one practical way. When I was in Minnesota back in March, living with the Benedictine monks for a week, one of the values and practices of the Benedictines that stood out to me is one particular practice that they have. And they have a whole bunch of practices. And they have plenty of time, you know, to practice these practices. Especially, you ever been to central Minnesota in March? Dude, I told y'all when I got back, I woke up one morning, I kid you not, I looked at my phone, because I wanted to know how cold it was outside. I looked at my phone and it was a degree. degree. The morning I left, it was 3. So you have a lot of time indoors to practice things, you know, to think about these kinds of good things. So one practice that they practiced that really got my attention, and has a real fancy, you know, name. It's the practice that they call no murmuring. The practice of no murmuring. And we're not talking about complaining about the fact that it's a degree outside. Not that kind of murmuring. You know what I'm talking about. Just the murmuring. Benedictine. And it came from Benedict. Benedict himself, years ago, said, murmuring tears community apart. And you know, you've probably been there in your life. You know, work situations, all kinds of different situations where there's murmuring. And that's why the Benedictines said, we just don't tolerate it. We don't tolerate murmuring. And I thought, man, that's a good practice. You know, not just for the life of a church, although it's a really good practice in the life of a church, but just in general. just the practice of no murmuring. So as simple as this sounds, for this month in the life of our community of faith here, maybe the best thing we could begin today saying is, let us focus on good things. What if we spend our time thinking this month on good things? Just good thinking. You know, ready, set, whatever is true, whatever is noble. You know, so, in context, we know Philippians 4:8. Here's the lead up to it. Back up in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is one of those times where the word of the Lord sets the bar awfully high. This is a tall order. So that's why this is going to take all summer. Amen.